Hebrews chapter number 11. Notice what it says here. We'll just start reading in verse number 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Anybody want to please God? Notice Enoch, it says, was translated that he should not see death. He's one of only two men we have record of that went to heaven without dying. Now, the Bible says it's appointed unto man, every man wants to die. So it's possible. This is my theory. Tell your neighbor this is his theory. It's possible they'll be the two witnesses that come back, be killed in Jerusalem. You ever read the book of Revelation? Because it's appointed unto man wants to die. But we'll see. If I'm wrong, and whenever we get to heaven, I'll just say I was wrong. But, you know, it doesn't really matter. But my point is that these two men, well, I didn't mention Elijah was the other one, and then Enoch, they were translated to heaven without dying. Now, it says, by faith, Enoch was translated. Well, you can't say, I'm going to believe God to be translated. But we read in the Old Testament, Genesis, the 5th chapter, what really happened. In Genesis 5, verse number 24, it says, Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. People have taken that statement, God took him, and somebody dies of a disease prematurely at a young age, and they'll say, well, the Lord took him. He needed him in heaven. There's only, when it says God took him, he never took anybody alive in the Bible. Excuse me. He never took anybody that had died. He took them alive. You understand? God doesn't take people with disease. He receives them if they die. If they're his people, he receives them, but he doesn't take them. But Enoch, he took him, and he took him alive without disease. And he caught up Elijah without disease. He took him. But see, don't use that term, the Lord took him, you know. That they died with a disease before their time, before, you know, they got old. I was told, long life, I'll satisfy you. So don't accept that kind of, you know, religious jargon and stuff just because somebody said it. Let's not take our doctrine from people that don't know what they're talking about. But he said that we're talking about Enoch. Enoch was translated, Genesis 5:24. By faith, Enoch walked with God. Is what you and I should understand when it says by faith he was translated. We should hear this, by faith Enoch walked with God. We use our faith for healing and other things, you know. How about we use our faith to walk with God? Amen. In addition. Not throwing anything else away, but use our faith for this. You use your faith for this, a lot of other things will just sort of come. They'll sort of fall into place. You'll get your answers, fellowshipping with him. You'll get your answers. But so that's what was happening here when it says, by faith Enoch was translated. He was using his faith to walk with God. That just simply means to walk with God means several different things. It means to be with him. You know, if you're going to walk with him, you have to be with him. You have to be interested in what he's interested in. You have to want to be close to him. You have to draw near to him. And work with him and what he's doing in your life. Everybody still happy? You came? I want to walk with God. Amen. It means being with him, being around him, living with him. Amen. And continuously involved in what he's doing and saying. And you know, some people, they just sort of live at a distance. Their fellowship with God is through somebody else who knows God. But there's something better. That's the Old Covenant. The Old Testament people knew God through others. You know, through Moses or, you know, the prophet that prophesied or something. In fact, they didn't even know him. They knew about him. In the New Testament, in John 17, Jesus said, this is life eternal. How many of you know we got something better than what they had? We got eternal life in the New Testament. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, Father, the only true God, and Jesus, his son, whom you've sent. Knowing God is what life is all about. Knowing God, fellowshipping with him, walking with him, being involved in what he's doing, listening to what he's saying, not through somebody else. You can come yourself boldly to the throne of grace. The royal invitation, as been given. The welcome mat has been rolled out.
Yeah.
Right to your life.
Yeah.
Come boldly.
Amen.
Come boldly. I mean, the angels will say, come on in, come on in.
Yeah.
Come on in. There's a place for you at the throne. What a waste of a life that never takes advantage of that great privilege of coming to the throne of grace. Never knowing what God's plan is for their life. Never knowing Him. There's a lot of advantages of knowing Him. Remember Paul said that I want the supreme advantage of knowing Him. Amen. Oh, I'm going to preach myself happy. I just know it. So, but Enoch, he got interested in knowing God. He got interested in walking with God. And by faith, he sought God and learned to walk with Him, got to know Him, and got close to Him. And one night, God and him were walking along, and Enoch said, well, I better go home. You know, I got to get some sleep. And God said, why don't you rather than go to your house tonight, just come to my house. And just stay up here with me. Now that's close. I want to be close with Him. Don't you want to be close with Him? Another thing walking with God means, how many of you know if you're walking, you're moving? If you're not walking, you're standing still. But if you're walking, you're moving. So to walk with God means to move with God. God's never stationary. He's always moving. He's always doing something. He's always in motion. He's always progressing. He's always moving His people forward. People that walk with Him are moving with Him. They're responding to Him. They're seeing things. You know, people that just nothing's been happening forever and ever. Amen. You wonder after a while, are they following Him? Are they listening to Him? Are they obeying Him? Are they walking with Him? Hallelujah. Our life ought to be a continuous testimony of God doing this and God doing that and God revealing this and God showing this to me and showing His nature to me. I'm growing and knowing Him better, seeing His miracles, seeing His power, seeing His goodness. Well, that's not happening for me. Well, it can. Don't get discouraged. Don't think, well, God's favors somebody else and me. No, you got the same invitation. Hallelujah. Praise God. So from the scriptures, we know how He walked with God. Note back in Hebrews, by faith. Verse 5, by faith. It's going to take faith to walk with someone you can't see with your physical eyes. You can't hear with your physical ears. But you can know Him in your heart. You can sense what He's saying in your heart. And you can follow that and respond to that. That gentle nudge that you know is the inner witness. That you know is God talking to you. Sometimes He's even more than a witness. Sometimes it comes to you, the words come to you. I don't mean audible. People seek audible voices. They get messed up. But in your heart, you can sense what He's saying. And as a result of doing that, get closer to Him. And know Him. There's a lot of advantages of knowing Him. One is you're not duped by a lot of religious jargon, a lot of things people say and say about God. God's this, God's that, God. These are acts of God, tornadoes and all. You just get to know Him. You're like, the more you get to know Him, the more you realize, you know, there's a lot of people that say a lot of things. And that's not the one that I know. A lot of religious jargon, a lot of phraseologies that sound flowery. And you just realize that's not God. Amen. So, say I want to know Him. I want to walk with Him. Hallelujah. What will happen when you learn to walk with Him? Well, Enoch was taken out of a place that's kind of ugly. He was taken to a place that's nothing but glory and beauty. Heavenly. Nothing wrong. Hallelujah. Taken to a better place. Do you believe God still translates people from where they are into a better place? By people that walk with Him by faith and get to know Him? Do you believe He still does that? To translate means to take out of one and put in another. How many of you know God can take you out of bondages of your own thinking and bondages in the flesh and bondages of being bound up mentally and approaching everything mentally into a person who is free in a whole new realm of following God without that bondage? Oh, yes, He can. Hallelujah. Completely new and different you. Completely new and wonderful you. Take you out of the bondages, the old attitudes. I'm looking down at my notes. I don't know who that's for. Amen. I wonder if faith still translates. You think God's done translating? I'm not only talking about being caught up bodily. I mean being taken from wherever you are in life into something much more wonderful, much more glorious, much more beautiful. Yeah. Hallelujah. We looked at the other service about God's will is days of heaven on this earth. You don't have to leave this earth to have a translation into wonderful things. Hallelujah. I'm interested. Are you interested? Getting out of the old and boring into the new and wonderful. You know, if your Christian life is boring, it's because you are not walking with Him. He's constantly revealing new things and new truths that are wonderful. And the Bible says in Ephesians, that's going to be for eternity. That in the ages to come, He'll show the riches of His grace and kindness towards us. Forever, from now on, forever, we ought to be going, wow. Whoa, God. Whoa. Just thrilled, living the good life. Hallelujah. Now, it goes on in verse 6. It says, of course, verse 5, by faith Enoch walked with, or translated, that he should not see death. We would say he walked with God. And God took him out of one realm, put him in another. And he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Without faith, it's impossible. It didn't say it's hard or difficult. It's just impossible. Impossible. Tell your neighbor, impossible means impossible. To please Him. I want to please Him. So I want to learn to walk by faith. For he that cometh to God must believe, and he mentions two things, that He is, number one. Number one, you got to believe He exists. That He is God. Yep. Amen. I'm in a different realm about half seeing things. I got to, amen. Hallelujah. It's difficult sometimes to keep preaching, but I got to get back. I just saw something. What was I saying? You got to believe that He is God. Somebody said, tell us. No, it's not for you. And you got to believe that He rewards. Notice King James says He's a rewarder of just every now and then somebody He likes. Those who diligently seek Him. He's a rewarder. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bow your head for a moment. There's a young person here. You've been just biding your time to get out of your parents' house so you can go and do your thing. And you will, if you follow that and don't listen to your parents and keep rebelling against your parents, you will go into a dark, dark hole, in a dark, dark dive. And so there's two paths set in front of you. One path will take you into a great darkness, and there will be much heartache. And because you know better, it's going to be very serious very quickly. But the other path is the glory of God. Listen to your parents. Listen to what you know in your heart, not what that voice of rebellion keeps telling you to do. This is a warning because God loves you and your pastor loves you. Amen. But you're just biding your time till you can get out of the house. You want to leave town. You want to get away from your parents. You just want to get away from all this stuff about God. And you haven't even told your parents everything you're into. But you're into some stuff. And it's not pretty. It's dark. So today's your rescue net. Today's your lifeline. There's a lifeline going out to you. And God's saying, make your choice. Make your choice today. But know you were warned. Amen. All right. Everybody still loves Pastor? Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Just had to deliver that. So without faith, it's impossible to please Him. How many of you can see from the context you can't walk with him without faith either? You can't get to know him without faith. Praise the Lord. So you got to believe that God exists. You got to believe that he is. And you got to believe that he will reveal himself. One translation says, rather than that without faith, impossible to believe that he is, believe that he's a rewarder. One translation says, reveals himself. That's the reward. If you and I will seek him, how many of you know the Bible promises we seek him, we'll find him.
Amen.
We'll find him. Call unto me, Jeremiah 33:3, and I will answer thee. And show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Do you know that if you believe that God will show you what you need to show, what you need to see, that you will continue to seek? Even if you don't understand, I don't know why this keeps happening. Lord, I keep on seeking you. Don't give up. Don't quit. He's given you a promise. He will reveal to you what you need to know. Oh, he's so faithful. It might take some time because he might need to make some adjustments in your thinking. It might take him some time. It's not that it takes him long, but sometimes working with us, it takes him time to get our thinking right and to get us aware of something we weren't aware of. Maybe that he had dealt with us about, but we didn't respond to, and so we forgot it or whatever. Amen. Is it worth it? Will God make it pay off that you seek him? Seek and ye shall find. If you long to know God, I mean, it's a heart longing, and you respond to that in faith and spend time reading his word, because that's the main way he reveals himself. But also spend time in his presence, in the spirit, with your heart open and hungry and reaching and calling and knocking and seeking. And amen. Drawing nigh. Bible said, you draw nigh to me, I'll draw near to you. You knock, the door will be open. You believe that? Well, I just don't know. I don't know. Keep on seeking.
Amen.
Seeking in faith.
Amen.
Call and I'll answer thee. Call out. Say, Lord, I'm hungry. Teach me what I'm not seeing here. Show me why I keep falling into this or that, or I haven't been able to get out of this bondage or this thing that keeps coming up in my life. I want answers. Remember what I told you about financially? I got real sincere. I said, God, help me. That's a prayer that's fine to pray. Help me. Help me, Lord Jesus. But pray it in faith. Pray it believing he hears you, believing that he grants it, and believing that if you keep seeking, that the answer will finally dawn on you. Some of us it takes longer, and I'm not just necessarily pointing out you over me, but sometimes at me, there's been times, recently it happened. I'm like, duh. Just kind of wake up, you know, and it's like, well, of course, I mean, why? I should, okay, I knew that. Well, no, I didn't really know that, but I should have known that. But I kept on seeking. That's where I'm at right now, seeking God about some things concerning further revelation of his plan and so forth. And I won't get into all that. But so, are you still here this morning? You got to believe you reach up, he'll reach down. You draw nigh, he'll draw near to you. If you believe that and genuinely ask him, he will reveal himself to you. Amen. God can be as real to you as any person sitting in this room, and actually more real. More real. The way God becomes real is by faith. Now, you might not understand that. If you listen to your heart will say, I believe that in here. But right on the other hand, if you don't understand it, don't throw it away. But he becomes more real to you by faith. And he can become more real. He is a person. He wants to make himself known. Amen. But there's things on our side of the equation that we have to do for that to happen. God could, in the atmosphere at 2 o'clock this afternoon, in full manifestation over the world, make himself known to every person on the planet. He could. And everybody would say, there is a God, and he is Jehovah, and bow the knee. He could do that. But I don't really expect him to. Because he has chosen to reveal himself to people that are hungry for him, people that seek him, and that people that believe and start responding to him. Amen. And there's more to that. We'll get into that maybe. But the point I'm making is there's something on our side that has to happen for us to know God. Amen? We have a part in this, don't we? Doesn't happen without faith. Doesn't happen without walking with Him. Doesn't happen without seeking Him. Doesn't happen without believing Him. But if we do those things, He'll make it pay off. He's got answers. He's got your answer. Believe it enough to seek Him and not quit. Somebody said, I've been seeking Him for years. Well, keep seeking. And stay humble as you seek, because sometimes the answer keeps popping up and we push it down. Say, no, that's not what I want to hear. I said, well, right there's why you're not seeing it. Anyway, all right, so go to Amos 3:3. My goodness, time's slipping away today. Amos 3:3. You know it. I think most of us here know this verse. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, where's Hosea? There's Hosea, Joel, Amos. 3, verse number 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? That's a question mark. You know, he's basically giving us the answer. I mean, the way he asks it. You know. It's like me saying, can an ant eat a cow? I mean, the answer is obviously no. Well, he's saying, can two walk together except they be agreed? The obvious answer is no. The obvious answer is no. So if we're going to walk with God, how about us and God? If we're going to walk with God, we're going to have to do what? Agree with Him. Agree with Him. Right? Say agree with Him. Here's the thing about agreeing with God. He's never wrong. It's not sometimes he changes his mind, sometimes you change your mind. If you disagree with something he says in his word or to your heart, God never, and you say, God, I don't agree with that. God never says, well, let me go back and let me see. Over the years, I've sent in the eons and the ages in past, I've said many things out of my wisdom, and I've written a lot of books and novels, heaven's full of books and novels. Let me go back in all my wisdom and see if you're right or if I'm wrong. And he comes back a year later and said, we've done the research, and you're right. Never going to happen. Never. I said never. I said never. If we disagree with God, if there's a disagreement with God, he's right. And you and I are wrong. You want to walk with him, right? Tell your neighbor, we wanted to learn to walk with God, so we got to listen to how to do this this morning. He's right. Somebody said, this is so simple. Yeah, but practicing it in real day, everyday life is a totally different ball game, different ballpark, different sports complex, different everything. Different town, man. It takes faith to stay in agreement with God. And if I'm still working on it, you're still working on it. So if God says something and we disagree with it, the conformity is done on our end by His people, by us. Amen. If the conformity is done by the ones who aren't perfect yet. God's perfect in all His ways, in all His wisdom, in all His judgments, in all His decisions, in all His thoughts. In everything he says, it's perfect. Perfect. Amen. So the one who has not been made perfect yet, now maybe we have a perfect heart in that we're wholehearted, but I mean in all the ways we think and all the ways we act and all the ways we speak and everything, is us. Isn't that right? So if there's any conformity, it's going to be on our end. Doesn't the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind? Don't be conformed to this world. Isn't that right? So conformity is on our end, and if you're stubborn and want to always walk in your ways, you will not walk with God. He's going to stay in His perfect wisdom and ways. And that includes the way he handles you, the way he deals with you, the way he deals with me. He does not pervert his perfection, his righteous judgments. He doesn't pervert them for anybody. He doesn't make any exceptions. He doesn't make any exemptions. Come on. Amen. And if we're stubborn and set in our ways, we'll never walk with him. Because he won't vary from his ways or his dealings or his deeds, the way he does things. He won't vary from that. We're going to have to conform to him. Someone said, I don't like that. Well, then keep on doing it your way. And let's come back in a few years and tell us how it's working out. Amen. In order to conform to him, we've got to adapt. Tell your neighbor, that's a good word, adapt. Adapt. Praise the Lord. This is something that I have had to learn to do. And you know, you get to a point in life, I'm in my 50s, and you get to a point in your life, you want to stop doing it. But you can't, unless you want to stay stagnant. You want to keep on moving forward with God, right? And so you can't stop adapting. You can't stop changing. You can't stop growing. I don't want to. Do you want to stop right where you are? No. Never have any more than you have. Never have no God any more than you do. No, that was awfully weak. I'm a little disappointed in that. But anyway, say anyway. I'm going to keep on being transformed. Keep on adapting. I'm going to walk with him and I'm going to agree with him. And this is something you can learn to do. You can learn to do it by faith. God says, because you had some plans, you wanted to do something, and God said, that's not my plan, that's not my will for you. And you go, right, yeah, I don't like it either. Now that I think about it, I don't really want to do that. Somebody said, yes, we do. The emotions and the affections of the soul and the mind. Yes, we do. We've been longing for that for our whole life. I've had people move away from here because their whole life they wanted to retire and move to a warmer climate. That's just an affection. That has nothing to do with the will of God. Now, fine, if God says fine, yeah, it's fine. But I'm just preaching. It's almost like some people are serving a different Jesus than I'm serving. I don't get to do my plan. It's just some people act like they can do anything they want, do their plan, leave marriages when they want because it's not working out, leave churches, leave jobs, leave whatever, just weaving in and out of things. They're not following God. They're not walking with God. I said, they're not. When you walk with God, you find out what he likes. You get close to him. What he hates, what thrills him, what grieves him. You know, God's a lot like us in this sense that he's a person and he likes things and he dislikes things. He can get angry. The Bible says that he that sitteth in the throne in the heavens shall laugh. He can be happy and laugh and rejoice. Bible said in one place, he'll sing over you with joy. You want to hear those songs? I'm going to get to heaven and hear those songs. God is he has a soul. He can be grieved. He can be quenched. He can be resisted. He can be thrilled. He can be happy. He can be pleased. We just read that. God's a lot like us in that sense. We think he's so different, unemotional, never shows whether he likes anything or not. Oh, he likes something? He'll show you. Yeah. If he doesn't like something and it's getting real hard, he just showed you. I don't like that. That's why I'm not helping you. And it's good that some things aren't easy. Our ways. I'm talking about our ways. Doing things our way and it just doesn't work out. Anyway, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can you spend time with anybody in this life and get to know them? It takes time, doesn't it? You have to see them in all different situations. You have to see them when what makes them happy, what they don't like, what upsets them. And you can get to know God, but you have to spend time with him. Hallelujah. You can know whenever he's pleased. And you got to be with him, live with him. And that means that it includes not just living with him, but adapting. Isn't that right? Say adapting. Whenever you find out something he doesn't like, sometimes you can start going a certain direction and there's something in your spirit starts churning, something isn't right. That's the Lord. That's not indigestion, you know. You can tell the difference. As you walk with God, you can begin to tell the difference. You can just start thinking about a certain thing or just start making plans a certain direction and sense, the Lord's not pleased with that. Pick it up in your spirit. Multitudes, this is why we've got to keep preaching the inner witness and being led by the Spirit, because multitudes, even of believers, have not learned to follow that.
Yeah.
And that's why they don't know him like they should. Because they override that, do their own thing, and wonder why God seems to be in a galaxy far, far away. Well, they grieved him. Well, it's always, everybody's happy. Hallelujah. Why don't we look in the Bible and see what he loves and what he hates? That's a good place to start. Are you willing to love what he loves? Hate what he hates? Even though you thought you loved it. I worship you, Lord. And God says, I don't like something, you know, you said or did or whatever. Well, Lord, you know, they did this and I was just responding to them. Stop. You're not going to get to walk with God that way. You basically, to walk with God, now this might sound too strong for some, but to walk with God, you've got to be a yes man. God says something, you go, yeah. That's the way I think now too. I didn't 5 seconds ago, but that right now, that's the way I think. Yeah, you're right. I'm with you. Everything in life, I'm with you. Somebody said, what are you doing? Whatever he says, I'm with him. I was this weekend, I came home yesterday, but I was in an RMAI meeting. Brother Keith Moore was ministering, and I met one of his co-pilots, and I introduced myself, and he said hello, and introduced himself. And I said, do you live there in Branson? He said, no. He said, I'm with him. I said, oh. He said, wherever he goes, that's where I go. Oh, I said, so you know, Branson or Sarasota. He said, yeah, I'm with him. I like that. See, he knew what his assignment was. But see, that's what we ought to be with God. God says, this is what I want you to do. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. I don't like that. Me neither. God says, this is right. We go, yeah, that's right. He said, that's wrong. Yeah, that's right. It's wrong. You're always right. Lord, you're always right. Yes, yes. If you want to walk with him, that's the way you got to be. Tell your neighbor, I want to walk with him. I want to know him. They that walk together have got to be agreed. Even if emotionally you don't agree, mentally you don't agree, but God says something, and you can make a decision at will to be in unity with God. You got to know that. Tell your neighbor, we're learning that. You might say, I didn't know that, but you do now. It's a little switch. You reach down on the inside and you flip. You might think God says, I want you to do this. Like right now, he's talking to us about going more overseas with Pastor Nancy and stuff. And my flesh goes, no, that ain't me. And God said, I'm putting a team together. And I go, yeah, that's me. Yeah, that's me. Because he said to me, I'm trying to put a team together and you're part of that team. Yeah, that's me. My flesh says, that isn't me. I don't like that. And I go, shut up. I do now. I agree with you, Lord. We call him Lord. If you're not going to agree with him, stop calling him Lord. Call him Savior. Call him something else, but stop calling him Lord. Lord means my life is yours. Your will is my will. What you love, I love. What you hate, I hate. What thrills you, thrills me. If it's your will that I travel overseas, thrilled about it. Thrilled about it. Hallelujah. It's an act of faith. Tell your neighbor, it's an act of faith to agree with God and walk with him. You have to reach down and flip the little switch. If you haven't found it yet, find it real quick. Amen. Hallelujah. You got to have his values. You got to have his priorities, what he loves. Praise God. And I'll tell you this, Luke 16:15 says this. It says, I'll just quote it. I mean, I won't quote the whole verse, but I'll quote part of Luke 16:15. It says, he said, that which is highly esteemed, Jesus is speaking, that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. Yeah. Abomination just means something is detestable. Yeah. Sort of like a rotten cat for 3 weeks been rotten, you know. You walk out to the back, that's what many things that people highly value, that's what God thinks of it. Yeah. Stinks. Well, praise the Lord. Maybe you better find out what he likes. Because you don't want God turning up his nose at something you're doing, some attitude, some... Amen. Praise God. Some things he detests. The whole world will go, rah, rah, yay, yay, and God said, stinks. That's what popularity is all. This culture is big on fame and, you know, recognition and all of that. And God just stinks.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Well, I haven't even got to my sermon yet, and it's time to quit. Praise the Lord. Now, let's look at some things he loves real quick. Amen. Would that be all right? Go to Psalm 11. We want to love what he loves, so we've got to know what he loves. Amen. We don't have time. We wanted to go through some things that he hates, but we ran out of time here. If you want to just write down a reference that'll tell you some things he hates, go to Proverbs 6:16 and start reading. We won't go there now, but it says there's six or seven things there that he hates. But we won't, because of time, we're going to Psalm 11. And we're going to read verse number 7. You want to find out something real quick that he loves? Psalm 11, verse number 7, I believe. Let me make sure I'm right here. Psalm 11, verse 7. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. Loves what?
Righteousness.
Righteousness. That's a word we hear all the time in church. Read it in our Bible. What does righteousness mean? Let me help you understand the word righteousness wherever you read it. Take the chus out. Righteousness. That's an old English word. It really means rightness. Right. What's right? God likes what... No, let me rephrase that. He loves what's right. He loves what's right. He loves doing right. He loves doing what's fair. It's just. Amen. The righteous Lord loves righteousness or rightness. His countenance beholds the upright. Let's look at another verse, Psalm 33. We're going to not take too much more time, but we've got a few minutes here. Psalm 33, look at verse number 4 and 5. It says, for the word of the Lord is right. That's the word of God. The word of God is right. All his works are done in truth. He loves, this is God, he loves righteousness or rightness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. He loves, there it again, we found something he loves. So since we found something he loves, what do we love? Anybody want to walk with God this morning? Walk with God. What do you got to do? Start loving what's right. Because he loves what's right. That means he detests things that are not right. Go to Deuteronomy 32. And you can read this truth we're sharing with you right now is all through the Bible. I encourage you to start reading your Bible with this in mind. And you'll start seeing it everywhere. You'll start seeing it just starts coming out everywhere. Old and New Testament. We're going to Psalm 30. Excuse me, Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. Look at verses. Well, let's just look at verse 4. Deuteronomy 32, verse number 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. Whew. Wow. Let's read it again. God is the rock. The rock, not a rock. He is the rock. What is a rock? A rock, something doesn't move, doesn't change. Unvarying. He's the rock. Let me read this to you in the New Living Translation. It says, he is the rock. His deeds, that's talking about what he does, are perfect. Everything he does is just and fair. He is a faithful God who does no wrong. How just and upright is he? Now look at that. Everything he does is just and fair. Everything. Has God ever done you wrong?
No.
Has God done anybody wrong?
No.
Ever?
No.
Will he ever do it in the future?
No.
Never.
Never.
So people that are angry at him because, God, you didn't do this and you didn't do that. That's the end of their walking with him. They have just accused him of being unfair, unjust, unfaithful to his promises, and they're on a road that takes them nowhere. Amen. You want to stay in faith? Don't have an accusative tone in your voice about why God didn't do this or didn't do that. You're accusing him of doing something wrong, of failing, being unfaithful. Here's how you stay in faith. Sarah told us in Hebrews 11, verse 11, I believe, it's talking about by faith Sarah received strength to conceive seed when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Notice that term, she judged God. But how did she judge him? Faithful. Never has failed. Never has done me wrong. Never has been unfaithful to his promises. He's always fair. He's always just. He always does what he says. He never fails. He's never done anybody wrong. Never done me wrong. Now, it'll appear sometimes as if he has. Oh, if I had some more time. I'm out of time. That's what I wanted to get into, but the Lord had good things for us. We're not complaining. He did the right thing this morning. I'm just simply saying it's begging my heart. It's begging my heart. We'll get to this. But there are multitudes of people who maybe not outwardly say it, maybe never have indicated it, but inwardly they're angry. They're miffed. God, you didn't come through. So they've closed their heart. They don't trust him. They don't listen to him anymore. I don't want to be hurt because God hurt me. That's a lie. It's a trap. The enemy has lied. And here's why. He's trying to get you to stop walking with God and stop using your faith and stop seeing the miracles that God wants to do in your life. Real quickly, and then we're going to close with this. James, go to James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1 talks about this. Oh, my, 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 my. Hallelujah. We love what's right. And we don't judge God as having done us wrong. Why? Because we want to walk with him. You never get anywhere, you know, judging God as having failed you. Being angry. You know, there's such a thing as a silent anger, too. There's a lot of people that don't understand something that happened and they've gotten out of church. They say they're just not wanting to go to church when inwardly they're angry at God as if he did them wrong. Impossible. He loves right and has never done a single person wrong. James 1 talks about this, and we don't have time to do it justice, but just start reading in verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. In other words, don't get off. Don't get off. Here's something not to get off on. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights, of whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Is God good?
Yes.
How often is he good?
Always.
Every time. All the times in the past that you didn't understand what happened, he's still good. Well, it doesn't look like it. That doesn't fact that it doesn't change the fact that he wasn't good. It's just that your looker is not real clear. You ever had your children, 3, 4, 5 years old, not understand the correction or punishment or direction that you gave them because of their lack of knowledge, lack of understanding, or wisdom at the stage they're at, and they get mad? Does that mean you were wrong?
No.
Nope. Does that mean you weren't a good parent? Nope. It's just you didn't understand. I mean, the child. Amen. There are things as we grow up that we were tempted. Listen, don't ever let the devil tempt you to be angry at God. But the devil, sometimes there's an opportunity there. You have to know enough. You might not know everything, not understand everything, and might not know why that didn't work, this didn't work, or the other thing didn't work. But know this and don't ever forget it. God didn't fail.
Amen.
God is faithful. Stay on God's side. If you stay on God's side, you'll stay on victory. And eventually he can bring you to the place to where you'll understand. And as we grow and stay on his side, don't get angry. Don't get separated. We keep walking with him. Even though we didn't understand, we say, Lord, I didn't understand that. And as I ask you to help me to understand that. But I'm with you. I'm with you. You haven't done me anything wrong. I'm not leaving you. I'm not quitting you. I'm not getting into unbelief. I'm not going to stop walking with you. I'm going to stay with you. Even though I don't understand right now. And I ask you to show me. I don't accuse you of doing something wrong. Why is it that it's always God's fault and it's never like we might have messed up? We've all been there. But we need to stay on his side, and the time will come whenever we grow spiritually and we'll come to the place we'll go, oh, yeah. No wonder. Oh, my. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. I didn't see that. Yeah. That's probably going to happen for eternity. Maybe the first couple hundred years at least. We're going to wonder why that didn't work out. We thought we were believing God back here. I just don't understand. And as we grow in eternity, well, I don't mean we have to wait until eternity. But I mean, I believe it's still going to keep on happening. We're going to go. Every now and then, we're just going to go, oh, no wonder. Of course. Yeah, sure, God. Yeah. See, you were right. Do you trust him?
Yes.
Is he faithful to you?
Yes.
When you don't understand,
yes.
Has he ever failed you? Has he ever been unfair?
No.
Has any of his dealings ever been unfair?
No.
Has he been unjust to you?
No.
Anybody else?
No.
But a lot of people think that he has. I said a lot of people think he has. How about we spend some more time on this?
Yes.
You know it's okay to ask why. You just have to ask it with the right heart. Say, God, help me to understand why that happened. I don't judge you. But if you could help me understand that, it would help me not fail again like that. I'm not accusing you. It was on my end, Lord. Something I didn't understand. Amen. And he'll be faithful. But just keep that accusative sound and tone out of your voice. Like, God was, he didn't, you know, I believed him. I trusted him. Never happened. Never has happened. Amen. We got to know that about. He loves righteousness. Can you see how we got there? He loves doing the right thing. That's his nature. That's his dealings. All of them are that way. And so we have to love what's right. And if something, the way he dealt with something was not what we liked, then we have to say, Lord, I still love you. I still trust you. I don't accuse you of doing me a bit wrong. Somewhere I wasn't walking in agreement with you. Help me to see it. You know, some things were not necessarily something we did wrong. It's just something we didn't understand. And maybe we gave up. We're not believing God for that anymore. You know, once you understand, you can see, oh, I see what I did. And you can go back and pick that up. You know, you can pick faith projects back up. Something that just didn't work and you dropped it. And you know, well, I guess I don't understand. Once the light comes, you can go back and pick it up. I know a story of a minister that said he and his wife believing for a car. And they added this little thing on the end of it. And we believed for it in 30 days. Well, wait a minute. The problem with that is at 30 days and 1 second, all of a sudden you're in unbelief. You unhook at 30 days and 1 second. Where's that in the Bible? No, it just believe God and keep on believing God. So they did that, and they, you know, didn't receive and they didn't see it. And so they, you know, their feathers fell, and they didn't accuse God, but they didn't understand. Years later, the Lord said, why did you let a little clock, you know, cause you to stop believing God? So I see it. And so they went back and picked it up. The Lord said, you can go back and pick that up. They picked it up. Boom, there it came. But some people, they're like, well, I thought this faith stuff works. It does. But just don't add stuff to it. Don't take away from it.